Burden Keen, precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. 513, and let's stand as we sing, please.
Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. In the home beyond the skies, there's a crown of glory, oh, the wondrous prize. He that winneth souls is wise. In the quiet home life, during love's bright ring, more and Jesus living every day, we be guided, dear one, o'er the heavenward way. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. In the home beyond the skies, there's a crown of glory, oh, the wondrous prize. He that winneth souls is wise. Upon the highway going forth with prayer, for the lost and strayed seeking everywhere, close beside the shepherd we his joy may share. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. In the home beyond the that winneth souls is wise. So beside all waters, so the gospel see, hear a word in season, there a loving deed. Sinners to the Savior be it ours to lead. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls beyond the skies, there's a crown of glory, oh, the wondrous prize. He that winneth souls is wise.
Well, we're going to unite our hearts together in a word of prayer and ask our brother Noel Shields if he'd lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please.
Let's all pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you today we can come into thy presence with singing. We thank you, Lord, we can come into thy presence through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that thou would draw near to everyone bowed here today in thy house. And we pray, O Lord, as we would come here to this meeting, that it be the desire of our hearts that we would meet with God. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw strangely near to every heart in this place. We pray, Lord, you'll meet every one of us at the point of our need. We pray, Lord, that we'll hear thy speaking voice, that word of instruction, that word of rebuke, that word of encouragement. Whatever, Lord, is the need of our heart, may it be the prayer of your people. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And let us submit ourselves unto thy precious word, and to wholly follow the Lord. We thank you for this meeting today. We thank you, Lord, we can come and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And so we ask for special help for thy servant today as he opens up thy Word. I pray, O God, thou would fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, he would know power and liberty and clarity in his thoughts today. And as he preaches the word, may our hearts burn within us today. Oh Lord, hide him far behind the cross. Let none but seen but Jesus only. Let him preach with power. Let the word of God, Lord, rest and abide in our hearts. Indeed, as your people, Lord, help us to hide thy word in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. Bless thy servant. Lord, uplift him. He's weak. He needs thy wisdom and thy help. And thou hast promised to meet us at the point of our need. Remember thy servant, Chris, as he would tell about this work, Lord, with drug addicts. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with him. Lord, we realize there's people out there held greatly in sin, held by the devil, tramping, O God, that road that leads to hell. O Father, he that winneth souls is wise. So thank you for thy servant who reaches out to these people. Indeed, in a sense, Lord, they're at the bottom of the pit. But the Lord is mighty to save. Lord, thou art able to save those down there. And we pray, Lord, that through thy servant's ministry, he will see many coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all, even who's involved in the work in this gathering today. Perhaps they get discouraged. Perhaps, oh God, they get cast down. We don't see the things that we want to see. Maybe very few's coming to Christ. Maybe it seems very few's interest in hearing the gospel. Oh Lord, let us be encouraged. Let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage your people. May they all realize that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. That our God is still King. That our Lord is still working out salvation in the midst of the earth. That our Lord will save all whom he has given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we praise thee for thy grace. We praise you for thy mercy. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be encouraged. And all of us, Lord, will see people saved in the coming days. We pray for the people in Kilkeel who's not saved, surrounding districts. We pray for the people of this land of Ulster. Lord, we need revival. We need the breath of God. Oh, breath of God, breathe upon us, Lord, we pray. Come and revive us. Lord, many here can remember better days. They can remember the times when many were saved. People have been saved nearly every week. But, oh Lord, return us to those days, we pray. Come, oh God, to this land. Come and bless every faithful servant of thine. Fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And, oh Lord, give us souls. Give us souls for Christ. We pray that all of us who's involved in thy work will never lose the burden for those who are lost. We pray, Lord, we'll always have that burden. Like the Apostle Paul had that burden, Lord, that moved him to tears. That continual sorrow that was in his heart as he looked upon his own countrymen and they were lost and heading towards hell. Lord, give me that burden. May that be the desire of all the hearts of your people. Give us a burden for the lost, Father. And then move us to reach out with the glorious message of the gospel. We're glad for the liberty. We're glad for the freedom we still have in this land of preaching Christ. Oh, Father, help us to go out. Help us to preach Christ to all men by the color of creed. Help us to tell them the glorious message of the cross, that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. Oh, Father, then be with us now. Bless this conference today. This meeting, Lord, may it be the best conference we've ever been at. Lord, speak to our hearts. Exalt and glorify the name of Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll turn to another hymn, hymn number 529, 529, Thy Works Not Mine, O Christ. Speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done. They bid my fear depart. To him save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee. 529, and we'll stand in again as we sing, please.
I will not mind, O Christ, fairly my
God to welcome to our afternoon service. This year, our brother Chris Killen. Chris works under our Presbytery Mission Board and concentrates his work especially on the subject of drugs and those who are addicted to drug taking in and around the Ballymena area, but not only there, right across the province as well. And we're glad our brother Chris could come today. We've asked him to report something of his work and how the Lord has been leading and blessing and directing in that work, and we're glad that he could come and do that for us. I'm going to ask him to come at this stage and to bring that report to us, please.
I would like to thank the Reverend Mercer for the words of welcome and for giving me the opportunity to come today and to speak at the conference, and I trust indeed that we will know a sense of the Lord's presence here, especially in the preaching of God's precious word. I would like to leave a verse of scripture before you today in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and the words of verse 8. This is a verse that has been an encouragement to my own soul time after time. One of the verses that the Lord really used to call me into this particular ministry and this field of service. And what a blessing it has been. And thank the Lord today we stand upon the promises of God. The promises of God which cannot fail. Revelation 3 verse 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Amen. The Lord has certainly opened many doors of opportunity and service. I count it a great privilege and an honour to be able to serve the Lord in such a capacity. Publicly, I acknowledge the hand of God. I thank Him for every token for good, for every single opportunity to present Christ to young people and to men and women, for every opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring that message to needy souls. But primarily, I not only thank the Lord for every opportunity given, but for the privilege of being able to serve Him. What a privilege it is. And oftentimes I just stop and I think to myself and I say to the Lord, Lord, I just am so blessed to have this privilege of being able to serve Thee, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to precious souls. I've been involved in this particular ministry under a mission board now for a number of years, and the Lord has certainly given many encouragements, tokens for good, and upon reflection, the Lord has certainly been with myself and my wife and family in this particular field of service. The more that I go on working with young people, especially teenagers whose lives are ruined and destroyed through drugs, the more it is impressed upon my heart the need to reach the children. And I would pray indeed, and I do pray every day, for every Sabbath school teacher, every children's worker in our church, that the Lord will bless them, that the Lord will give them fruit. And it is my continual prayer that the young people that you minister to and that our Sabbath school teachers and workers minister to, that they never end up on my visitation list. And that is my prayer to God. I thank the Lord for the privilege of serving Him, working with the young people in what is oftentimes a very wide and varied ministry. Someone asked me just lately, what's a normal day to you? Well, normal day, every day seems to be different. There's so much that needs to be done, so many people visiting and etc. For instance, just to put things in a little bit of perspective, one day you could be visiting in the prisons. Young people who get involved in drugs, it's inevitable that they're going to end up in crime and imprisoned. So you might be in prison there. Then you might have to go to hospital, do visitation. Somebody might have overdosed, or they mightn't be well due to drugs or health will break down, so you're visiting in hospitals. Then quite a bit of time is spent dealing with people who have psychiatric problems. Some of them will end up in psychiatric hospitals. And also part of the work now has been visiting not just young people with drug addictions and psychiatric problems, but also I've of late been asked to help out and to deal with people who have been suicidal. not just as a result of drugs, but people who have been depressed, etc. I suppose gaining some experience working with young people with psychiatric problems. Then I would visit in detox units. Young people are detoxified off the drugs, so there's also that ministry. Then the young people that we work with, that we visit, they have all sorts of various needs and problems, difficulties. For instance, lately one of the young girls very tragically lost her child to a death, and just a 7-month-old little child. And my wife and myself were speaking, going visiting there, and I really appreciate and rely very much upon the help and support of my wife, because not just working with young men, but also there's a lot of young girls who are involved in drugs and caught up in drugs, and therefore my wife plays an important role in visiting those young girls with me. Then, over the past couple of years, I've also been dealing not just with drug problems, but people have then asked me, seen you visiting psychiatric wards and hospitals, will you come perhaps and speak to someone who has a eating disorder? And then there's always a problem and difficulty with suicides and young people who are suicidal. So as you can see, that's quite an extensive sort of work program. But there are really two aspects to the work, if I could say. There's the schools ministry, which has been really encouraging. The Lord has certainly encouraged my heart very much in the schools ministry. It's always a joy for me to go into school. When I was 15 years of age, I couldn't wait to get out of school. Now I love to go to school. I was just sharing this with some of the young people the other day. I was telling them, you know, I love to come to school. And I just count it a privilege to speak to the young people. Many of our schools across the province, going into them to present the Truth About Drugs program. Of course, a biblically based program, teaching them what the Bible has to say, and getting right down to the root problem and cause of why young people turn to drugs. That is, of course, the heart of man. Young people need Christ as Savior. And we seek to present a very clear understanding of the gospel. For instance, in a school lately, I asked the young people, if any of the young people, and they were 17, 18 years of age, if any of them could tell me what the Bible is speaking of when it says that God created man in his image. And none of them were able to tell me. And therefore, there's a need to reach out to children and to have them educated in the things of God. And of course, that is of paramount importance. Whenever God created Adam in his image, in that moral image, and yet those young people were completely unaware as to what that actually meant. Just during the past week, I've been taking some students up in Ballymoney, in that area, speaking to them there, and whilst in the main when I go into schools it's speaking about drug education and presenting the gospel from the drug basis, as it were, using it as a means to present the gospel. This week I was asked to go and to take A-level students to speak to them about sin and repentance in the Gospel of Luke, and I had 2 hours to speak to the young people, and as you will be aware, that's a tremendous opportunity to present the gospel, to speak to them. And I thank the Lord for that opportunity. And that's another door that the Lord has opened, even into taking this, not just moving away from drugs, but another sphere of service, going into the schools and getting involved with the religious education in the sense of being able to deal with certain topics from the Word of God. And I pray that the Lord will extend that ministry. He will give me more opportunities in the schools. In December, I was over in Stranraer, assisting the Reverend Abernethy there. He's a minister in the work in Stranraer. And we held some special meetings during the week, and then also I was in one of the local high schools. There only is one high school in the area, and you're either in it or not. And we were able to get into the school, had a tremendous time there. There's 1,500 pupils in that school, and the headmaster has invited me to come back and to speak to the young people. And that was really encouraging, because it was on the basis of what he had heard and the report back from the teachers. And we were able to speak very freely there and to present the gospel. Then another aspect of the schools, which has been certainly really encouraging to my heart and to our ministry, is the fact that over the past 2 years we've been in Donegal, County Donegal, witnessing in Roman Catholic schools. And this year, the Reverend James Porter has made contact with all the schools from last year, and every single school has invited us back. And I'd like you to pray for, if the Lord lays it in your heart, to pray for those meetings. It's a great opportunity to present Christ. When you think of the young people that you're standing before, and perhaps those young people have never heard the gospel truly presented to them, their need of Jesus Christ as Savior, those dear Roman Catholic children, And we pray indeed that the Lord will give us a heart for them, and He will give us the words to speak to. And then there's not only the schools in the main, but also the visitation work, visiting the young people, working with drug addicts. And it's a work where, just like the rest of the Lord's work, you have to persevere, you have to keep at it, you have to keep pressing on despite the discouragements and the setbacks. Young people especially who have drug addictions have very haphazard lifestyles. They have no plan to their lives. They will promise you everything and literally deliver nothing. And that's particularly something that you have to come to terms with, learn to live with, and not be discouraged by. For instance, we hold a monthly gospel meeting in our Ballymena in the Ballymena church, which some of the folk there in Ballymena, they really support us very well, and we're thankful for that. We have a monthly meeting where we invite the drug addicts in and we preach to them. In December, we had roughly a doubling up of the numbers. It went up to about 50, with quite a number of unsaved in. We were greatly encouraged, and in January, we had nobody come in as an outsider. And the discouragement would then come to you, and you're questioning everything. And I was very busy, I must say, during this week. It was a really busy week. And the meeting was on Wednesday night, and we were just really praying to the Lord and seeking the Lord. And on the Wednesday, the Lord brought 7 new people in, the addicts that we work with. And then the Lord encourages you again, and you come away thrilled and rejoicing. And the Lord has certainly encouraged us greatly in that particular ministry, working with those young people. In Galatians chapter 6, we read in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." My prayer, especially of late, has been that the Lord will keep me in the centre of His will, and also that the Lord will give me a great heart and burden and compassion for the young people. When discouragement comes, and it does come, the natural thing would be to react, to perhaps speak harshly to the young people, to tell them how you've been disappointed. For instance, if I've driven 45 minutes or an hour to pick somebody up, and they're not there, or they're not, they've changed their mind, you could react to that. But it's been patient, it's been tender-hearted. Going again and going again. And I pray that the Lord will give me a compassionate heart for the young people, that He will give me a heart of love for them, and that in spite of the difficulties and the discouragements, that I will keep pressing on with them, and that I will love them for Christ. Just last year, one of the young men that we were working with, he rang me up one night. It was actually a Lord's Day. He rang me and he asked me, was I going to church that night? And I said, "Yes, I am, Andrew. I'm going to church, but it's nowhere near where you live." He says, "Well, I'd really love to go with you." And for me, it meant a round trip of 4 hours to go and pick him up and then to take him to church and to drop him home. In the afternoon time, I felt really, well, you know, is he going to be there? What's going to happen? He came to church that night. And when he came to church, he had a whole new suit on, new clothes, new shoes. And he said, "You know, yesterday I said to my mum, I'm going to go to church for Christ tomorrow night. And my mum went out and she bought me all these new clothes. And the Lord really spoke to me. Because I must confess that I was thinking more about myself and been put out than really going to take that young lad to church. I had to confess and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for your mercy, for giving me the strength and the wisdom to go and to pick that young man up to take him to church." Because can you imagine his parents went out there on hearing that he was going to go to church, that they completely clothed him out with all new attire. And imagine if I hadn't got the time to go and pick him up. And the Lord spoke to me about that. We pray, and I've often said, you know, if someone asked me to go to Dublin to pick him up, to go to church, I would go. And then the Lord puts you to the test. He calls you to go the extra mile. And that young man, a few weeks later, got saved. And although he's been really struggling, fighting drug addiction, he's been making progress. It's taken some time, but there's a willingness to go on. And there is a desire to go through with God, and we thank the Lord for that. And he's been one of many encouragements that we've had. And the Lord has really greatly and deeply encouraged us in the work. I could stand here for quite a long time and tell you of instance after instance of how the Lord has moved and worked in power. The Lord has intervened. It's been an answer to prayer. It's been such a blessing. And I believe and I am convinced wholehearted that the best is yet to be. That God will fulfill His word. We are not to be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap if we faint not. We must persevere. We must keep going. We must go the extra mile. And as I said, I thank the Lord for every opportunity to speak to the young people. But what it does is it always reaffirms the need to pray more. I know in my own heart. To pray more for every Sunday school teacher, every children's worker. That the blessing of the triune God will be upon them. That as they deal with the little ones and speak to them, that they will have the joy of seeing them unto Christ. And that there will be a generation who will arise, who will be strong, who will know God, who will do exploits. That's our prayer. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support. It is no greater privilege, I count it no greater privilege, to serve the Lord in this capacity and to tell others of Jesus Christ. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But what a joy to share the gospel.
Well, we thank our brother Chris, and we trust that you'll take him upon your heart in prayer. Pray for him that God will continue to open these doors and the Lord will use him in the salvation of precious souls. It's always encouraging to hear of how the Lord is moving and souls being troubled and convicted and brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank our brother Chris. We trust that God will continue his hand upon him in the days to come. Let me give each one a very warm word of welcome this afternoon. We're glad to see you. I see some faces that are here practically every year, and we're thankful that you've been able to come and join with us again. Maybe some of you are here for the first time, and we're glad to have you also for this afternoon service. Do remember the service again tonight at 7 o'clock. Our brother Reverend Ferguson, and we welcome him in our gathering also, and his daughter, and he will be along to preach tonight at 7 o'clock. We're glad he could come over from London. I know he has to go back for his services tomorrow, and we're thankful he could make the time to come and join with us today. Our sister Velma will be bringing messages and song, or message and song, in our evening service tonight. There's also a book table there across in the complex. There's tea after this service. We'd like you to wait behind for some tea with us, and there's a book table there. Our brother Chris Killen's book, Back from the Brink, that was published a number of years ago, is there on the book table. Maybe you have a copy of that, maybe not, and if you can maybe pass it on to somebody else and encourage them to read that. It's a remarkable testimony of the saving grace of God. There's also Dr. Kern's Dictionary of Theological Terms, the latest edition of that, and those are there also. And a new publication on the life of W.P. Nicholson, the personal memoirs of W.P. Nicholson. This comes highly recommended by the Reverend Stanley Barnes, our minister in Hillsborough. And I think that's a new publication. And that's also there on the book table. There's also a selection of Bibles and other literature there upstairs. So we remind you of that and do take time to browse through the books on the book table. The services today are being taped. If you'd like a copy of this afternoon one, if you can't stay for the whole day, then you can have that on video. I think there are a number of videos being copied throughout the service at this time. And if you'd like a copy of the video of the service this afternoon, then you can have that as you leave. Maybe you prefer cassette tape or CD. Well, they let us know, and we'll have those copied for you as soon as possible. Those are all the announcements I think we have at this time. We're going to turn to hymn number 590. 509. I love my Master. I will not go out free, for He is my Redeemer. He paid the price for me. I would not leave His service. It is so sweet and blessed, and in the weariest moments, He gives the truest rest. 509. Can I mention that our offering today, after the necessary expenses, will be going to the work that our brother Chris is involved in, and also the work that our brother Mr. Ferguson is involved in London. We'd ask you to remember our offering both now and again tonight, and that it'd be good if we can give our brethren a little token of encouragement, and that we leave that matter with you in our offering time. 509, a hymn that's based on those words in Exodus 21, where the servant would say, I love my Master, I will not go out free. And I think the words in this hymn are tremendous, that he would not have his service. He would serve. He would serve with all his heart. And that's how it ought to be, of course, with us and the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Hymn number 509. We'll keep our seats for the first part while our tithes and offerings are being received, please. Afternoon, my brother Reverend Ian Kenny from our Dromore congregation. You may be aware that Dr. Paisley normally does come to the afternoon service in this special day for us. He's not able to come this year, and I contacted our brother Ian straight away after I knew Dr. Paisley couldn't come. He very gladly consented to come along and to preach for us, and we're thankful for that. And I'm going to ask him to come and bring God's word to us now, please.
We could turn together in the Word of God to Ecclesiastes and the chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, the chapter 11. As you're turning up the portion, I thank our brother for his words of welcome. I was aware that Dr. Paisley normally spoke here at the conference, and I don't begin to imagine for one moment that I could come to fill his shoes this afternoon. They would be too big for me for a start, but we'll come just with a word from the Lord, and we trust the Lord will bless it to our hearts. It is good to see each one that is gathered this afternoon. Saturday can be a difficult day for people to come out to the service. It's a day when many attend to other things, a day of recreation for many, and you couldn't tear them away sometimes from that recreation. Reminds me of the man who was out on the golf course, and he was just about to chip the ball onto the green, and he noticed that coming up alongside the road on the golf course there was a funeral cortege, and he stood aside and took off his cap and held it across his chest. And his friend said to him, whenever the funeral had passed, he says, why is it you were being so reverent there? You normally wouldn't be whenever you're playing golf. And he says, well, after all, we were married for 25 years. But we're glad that you have come along to the service this afternoon. We're going to come to the Word of God, Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. And as we come to read God's Word, shall we just bow together? We're conscious that we need the help of the Lord this afternoon. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we do thank Thee that we can come before Thy presence. And we thank Thee, our Father, for Thy goodness to us already here in this service. We thank Thee, our Father, that we can come together and sing Thy praise, and that we can worship Thee together with those of like precious faith. We do thank Thee, our Father, even for our brother Chris and for the report that he has brought to us this afternoon. We thank Thee, our Father, for the work that he is engaged in, for that great and effectual door which Thou hast opened for him. And we pray that Thou would continue Thy good and gracious hand upon him, and grant our Father that he would be used mightily even by Thee in the days to come. We ask our Father now, as we would come to read and to meditate upon Thy truth, that Thou would grant to us that help from the sanctuary, Thou would strengthen us out of Zion, and all that the breath and the power of God the Holy Spirit would come upon each one of us here. We do thank Thee for Thy Word, and we praise Thee that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we pray that Thou would bless it now to each of our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Reading then from Ecclesiastes 11, commencing at the verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. I would like to center my thoughts this afternoon around the first verse of this 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And here it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. These words were penned by King Solomon. They were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We're told that Solomon penned these words whenever he was an old man, the time whenever he had been through all of the experiences of his life. Solomon was a man, we could say, who by this stage had been around many corners. He had many different experiences right throughout his life. And in the eyes of the world looking on, they would say that Solomon was a man who was very successful. Solomon was a man who had made it. Solomon was a man who had it all. We could look at different examples as to why that would be the case concerning Solomon. If you care to turn back in your Bible to 1 Kings and the chapter 10, we find there in 1 Kings and the chapter 10 that we read about the riches of King Solomon. And if you glance down that chapter to the 14th verse, we read something there of the riches of Solomon. Verse 14, 1 Kings chapter 10, it says, "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold." And you can see there the gold which came to him in 1 year. You could read on down that portion of Scripture and find all that the merchant men had brought to him. You could see down to the 18th verse, "Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold." And here we can see how Solomon had accumulated all of these riches. He had wealth in abundance, more than you and I could ever dream of. Here was one who had it all. He had the wisdom, of course, as well. Solomon is known best for his wisdom. And if you look back in 1 Kings a little further to the chapter 4, in 1 Kings chapter 4 into the verse 30, we can see there an example of his wisdom. It says here, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." And you can see that his wisdom excelled all others. If you glance down to the verse 34, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." Here was a man who had riches in abundance. Here was a man who had great wisdom to the extent that it excelled all others. And many came to hear the very wisdom of King Solomon. Here was a man who had power. He sat there upon the throne of his father David. He had the power to govern there from his own ivory throne. Man who had riches, man who had wisdom, a man who had power. Here was a man who had it all. But if you come up to Ecclesiastes and you look there in the very first chapter, then the second verse of the first chapter, Solomon here is giving his verdict. He's been through all of the experiences of life. He has accumulated the riches. He has there the wisdom. He has the power. And in chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And Solomon is saying all of those things, well, they're just empty. Whenever it comes to our text of Scripture for this afternoon, in Ecclesiastes 11 and the verse 1, he's giving really application to the words that he has used there at the outset of Ecclesiastes. And his counsel now is, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." As we consider these words briefly together this afternoon, I want you to notice here in the first place that they speak of the precept. And the precept is, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." And Solomon is speaking to those who possess. He's speaking to those who have plenty. And he's saying that they are to give liberally to those that did not have. He's saying, "Cast thy bread," the bread that you have in your possession, the bread that you have in abundance, "cast thy bread upon the waters." It's a lesson in charitableness. That word "cast" there, it actually speaks of scattering very liberally.
It's speaking to us about scattering abundantly, cast thy bread upon the waters. We can see it brought out in the second verse as well. Verse 2 contains what we would call a Hebraism. It says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. And it's hard for us to understand exactly what Solomon is referring to there unless we can get a grasp of the Hebraism. Seven in the Hebrew is, of course, the number of perfection and completion. And Solomon is saying, when you come to seven, well, you've really come to the conclusion, you've come to the completion. But whenever you think you've come to the end of your giving, and you've given, as it were, to the seventh, Solomon is saying, give to the eighth as well. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. You're to give plentifully. You're to give liberally. You're to give abundantly. It's speaking of great generosity. And of course, it's referring to the bread. Cast thy bread. That bread which you possess. Solomon is exhorting here, you're to be a good steward of it. You're to share it with others. You're to give it to those who are in great need. If you look over into the prophet Isaiah and to the chapter 28, you will find here in Isaiah chapter 28 that the same word occurs. And then Ecclesiastes 11 and 1, it's translated bread. But in Isaiah 28 and the verse 28, you can see that it's translated bread corn. And it says there, bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. He's speaking about this bread corn. And that's what Solomon is referring to. It's the same word in the original. It's translated in Isaiah, bread corn, but here it's just bread. And it's referring to a valuable seed. And when Solomon is speaking there about the bread, it's that valuable seed that was to be cast forth. And in verse 2 he's saying, you have to give it. You have to cast it forth and you have to give it. We could apply it here to our practical giving. As far as we have, what God has given to us in His mercy and His grace, we're to be good stewards with it. We're to help others in a practical way. We're to have compassion on those who are in need, on those who do not have in the way that we would possess, and where there's genuine need, we cannot be ignorant of it and neglect it. But we must address it. We must cast our bread upon the waters. Casting in the practical sense, we could say. We're all aware of the great earthquake which happened on the 26th of December out in South Asia. And there the tsunami that struck that land with great devastation. We have been touched in our hearts, and even our own denomination has set up that tsunami relief fund. And I was quite encouraged to hear this week that there's been £171,000 so far that has been brought into that fund. We've been casting our bread upon the waters in a practical way. But we have to apply the spiritual lesson here as well. Whenever we think of the bread, well, bread in the Scriptures would speak to us about the Word of God itself. And of course, whenever we look into the New Testament, and there we can think of the words of the Lord and the temptation in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 4. And whenever he was giving his answer there to the devil, he said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the link there is made between the natural bread and the spiritual bread. It's the bread of the Word of God. And as God's people today, we ought to be seeking to cast forth the Word of God. We ought to be giving it in abundance. We ought to be sowing the very bread of life. that precious bread that so many are in need of. It's life-giving food. It's the manna from heaven for the hungry soul. And so we can apply the words here spiritually, cast thy bread. And we have the Word of God today. We have the great message of God's redeeming grace. We have the good news of the gospel. And we ought to be casting forth the bread of life and giving it liberally and scattering it abundantly. The bread speaks of the Scriptures. The bread speaks of the Savior Himself. Didn't He say in John 6 and the verse 35, I am the bread of life. Having referred to the manna that was given to Israel in the Old Testament, the Lord was now saying that He was that true bread. He was the bread of life from heaven. And when we're coming to cast forth the bread and to cast our bread upon the waters, we're seeking to sow the seed of the gospel, the very bread of life, and we're setting the Lord Jesus Christ before the hungry souls of men and women. Because He's the only one that can satisfy the longing soul. He's the only one that can fill the hungry soul with goodness. And we ought to be telling others today about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's not easy to witness for the Lord in this day and generation in which we're living. There's such darkness. There's such a declension. There are many difficulties that will be on every hand. And you can see there the difficulties are referred to in verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. And the winds of adversity could be blowing against us. There's many a hurdle that would be presented in our way, but there ought to be nothing that would stop us from sowing the good seed of the gospel. No matter how hard and how difficult the circumstances may be, as the dark clouds would gather over, and it's a dark day spiritually in which we're living, but yet we ought to be casting our bread upon the waters. That's the precept that has been set before us here in this verse of Scripture. Matthew Henry would tell us that the waters here could be typical of the multitudes of people. The waters there is in the plural, and it's speaking to us of the masses of people, the multitudes there who are without bread. Cast thy bread upon the waters. If you care to turn over again in Isaiah's prophecy to the chapter 32. In Isaiah chapter 32, and you look with me there to the 20th verse. And here it says, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. And the waters can be taken there to represent the multitudes of hungry souls that are in need of the bread of life. And it is our responsibility, yea, the Lord has commanded us to reach them with the message of the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And of course, the focus today and this afternoon is upon the children. And we're thinking about reaching the boys and girls. And there are those who are children's workers, and they're laboring perhaps in the children's meeting, and they're seeking to cast their bread upon the waters for the boys and girls. The multitudes are there of this up and coming generation, as it were. There are those who would labor in the day school, and they're faithfully casting their bread upon the waters, seeking to raise the little ones in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. There are those faithful Sabbath school teachers, and week after week, they're casting their bread upon the waters. The little ones are in need of the bread of life today, in need to reach them while their hearts are still tender, while they're still open to the gospel message. before the devil would tighten his grip upon their hearts and souls, before he would carry them away into the beggarly elements of this old world. With just a few short years, perhaps, that we have them under our influence in the Sabbath school, and we need to cast our bread upon the waters.
We need to be seeking to reach the boys and girls, and there's a good biblical basis for it. Over there in Deuteronomy, in the chapter 6, we have what's known as the Shema. There from verse 4 onwards, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Then it's giving to us there the basis on which we're to reach the boys and girls and teach them the things of God. Verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." There's the need for the children's worker, the Sabbath school teacher, that they first must have the Word of God within their own heart. They must be taught of God. And here it is personally at the end of verse 6, "It shall be in thine heart." Then there's the practical instruction that can go forth to the children there in verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And you can see there, if you have a margin in your Bible, that the word "teach" there is actually the word in the original "to whet" or "to sharpen." And as you're teaching the boys and girls the things of God, and you're instructing them with the very bread of life, it's as if you're sharpening them. And as you're sharpening there the tool or the knife, it's the repetition of backwards and forwards. And as you continue to go over it backwards and forwards, and you're whetting the blade and you're sharpening it, it's becoming sharper and sharper. And as we go over the same truths, the old truths contained in the Word of God, and we take the children over the old standards of the Word of God, and we repeat them over and over again, week after week and year after year, it's as if we're sharpening them, we're teaching them. That's how we're to instruct the children. And there's a reason behind it all. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy 6, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Teaching the boys and girls lest they would grow up, they would forget their Creator. They would forget their Maker. They would forget the Lord. And so we can see the great need and the biblical basis. There's a precept here for us. Cast thy bread upon the waters. But I want you to notice, in the second place from our text of Scripture, there is the promise. The precept and the promise always go together. You'll have the responsibility, but you'll also have the reward. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it." And you can see here that the language is very definite. It's speaking with a sure and a certain word. It says, "Shalt cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it." You know, to cast that bread, corn, that valuable seed, to cast it upon the waters, it seemed a pretty pointless exercise. But it was in relation here to the Egyptians and their living beside the Nile. And as it came to the time for the sowing of that bread corn, it was the time whenever the River Nile was overflowing its banks. And the River Nile, the waters of it, were coming to actually cover over some of the fields. That rich, fertile soil was covered with the overflowing water from the River Nile. And Solomon's saying, "Cast thy bread upon the waters,
take that valuable seed and cast it forth upon the waters. And as they would obey the command here of Solomon, and they cast the seed upon the waters, it seemed to be pointless, because there was the seed just sinking below the surface of the water. But away from view, that seed was sinking down through the waters to the rich, fertile soil beneath. And whenever it came to the time when the waters would recede back again, they were able to see that that seed had sunk down into the earth beneath, and it had taken root downwards, and it was beginning to shoot upwards. You see, Solomon says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it." When the waters recede, you're going to see it again. Even though it seems a pointless exercise at the time, there's the promise that there will be a harvest. And can you see the application that's there? When we come to applying it here spiritually, sometimes we labor for the Lord week after week, month after month, year after year, and it can seem to be a pretty pointless exercise at times. And our brother Chris has related there to the discouragements that we can come across as we're seeking to labor for the Lord, and perhaps not more so than when we're laboring with the boys and girls. And the boys and girls who are so full of the energies of youth and childhood, and they come and it seems at times that the word doesn't even penetrate their hearts. And it seems so difficult there in the midst of the Sabbath school or the children's meeting and the noise and the disturbance that at times there can be. It seems at times pointless to cast our bread upon the waters. The promise of God's word is that we shall find it. The promise of God's word is that there's going to be a harvest. The Lord has those. And while the word is going forth, and while the seed is being sown abundantly and liberally and faithfully, there's a seed there that is falling down below the surface. The seed of the gospel that out of the sight of our natural eye, it's falling there into their heart. That incorruptible seed of the word of God is being buried beyond the reach of the adversary of souls. It's falling into the rich, fertile soil of a prepared heart. And it's going to bring forth a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Maybe you're there in the children's meeting in the day school or in the Sabbath school, and you're laboring and you're casting your bread upon the waters. Oh, take encouragement here. What encouragement there is to sow the seed, knowing that there is going to be a harvest time. The Psalm 126, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Look at Ecclesiastes 11 and the verse 6. And it says, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." And you can see there that the promise is there, the authority of God's word, that there is going to be that time of reaping. And today it seems as if the tide has gone out. Today there's that barrenness, today there is that dearth. And we look forward to that time when the tide of blessing is going to come in around us. And we'll know again those who are coming to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The familiar words in Isaiah 55, the verses 10 and 11, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." There is the great promise that we have in the Word of God, that the Word of the Lord will not return unto Him void. Therefore, on the strength of that promise, let us continue amongst the boys and girls, amongst the lambs of the flock, to cast our bread upon the waters, for we shall find it. But I want you to notice, in the third place from our text of Scripture, we have here the patience. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And therefore, that's speaking to us about patience. Here's the difficult part. It may not be an immediate harvest. It may not be right away that we're going to see the results of our labor, as it were. But nevertheless, we're to cast our bread upon the waters, for we shall find it after many days. Just like the farmer, he has that time of sowing, the time of toil, the time of labor, the time when he must see the sweat upon his brow. And then once he has the seed sown, there must be the time of waiting for the harvest. And that applies there in the natural harvest. It applies in the spiritual as well. James 5 and the verse 7, it says, "The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it." Long patience. Sometimes it's after many, many days. Maybe there's one today. You've been laboring for many's a long day. You've been praying hard for many's a long day. And you're looking forward to that time when you would have the joy of pointing little ones to the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet it might be when they have gone on in years and got older and got even out from under your influence, it might be then that the Lord in grace and in mercy moves upon their heart. And therefore we need that patience. Chris was speaking about that perseverance, that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And oh, today, when there would be much to discourage, there would be much to cause our souls to be cast down, let's hope in God, because God is giving to us here a great promise if we have the patience to wait for it. It's easy to become weary in well-doing. But Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You think of the potential if we were just to see one that would come through for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when John the Baptist was pointing to the Savior and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," and there was Andrew. And Andrew accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And what does he do? It says he first findeth his own brother. He went out after Simon. And there was Andrew, who was probably a quiet of nature, and he just labored faithfully there in the background. But he was seeking to bring people to the Savior, and he started with his own brother. He said, "Simon, we have found the Messiah, which is called Christ." And of course Simon comes and he too gets gloriously saved. But Peter, as he became, he preached on the day of Pentecost. And it tells us in Acts 2 about 3,000 precious souls came through for Christ. But Andrew started out with just winning his brother for the Lord. And what potential there can be if we were just to see one in the Sabbath school saved. There was a man by the name of Edward Kimball, and he was a faithful Sabbath school teacher, and he had the boys there gathered around him. He taught them faithfully the Word of God, and he had a great burden in his heart to see them saved and won for the Lord Jesus Christ.
and one by one he went after them. It was one of those young boys who worked in the shoe shop, and there Edward Kimball went in one day to the shoe shop with the burden upon his heart for this lad. And he went right into the back of the shop where he was there wrapping up the shoes. And he came and he witnessed faithfully to him of the Saviour and told him of his need to get saved. And that young lad there and then yielded his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was Edward Kimball who won that young lad for the Saviour. That young lad was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody became the great evangelist. Although D.L. Moody never looked upon himself as anything other than a Sabbath school worker, but yet he went forth with a great burden for the souls of men and women, and it is estimated that D.L. Moody was used by God in the salvation of around 1 million souls. A faithful Sunday school teacher. What potential there is if we can win one. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. There are many unsaved that we need to reach, but we need to reach this up and coming generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the bread of God's word. We have the one who is the very bread of life himself. And he has said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. May the Lord use these words as a great encouragement to each one of us as we labour for the Lord. Thank you.
Well, let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 520. We do thank our brother for bringing God's word. May God write it upon our hearts today and encourage us as we cast our bread upon the waters. And may the Lord be pleased in his grace and mercy to grant us days of harvest and days of reaping for his own name's sake. 520, go labour on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 3 and then verse 6. 1, 3 and 6. And we'll stand as we sing, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We bless thee for the encouragement of it. Help us, Lord, not to be weary in our well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we thank thee, Lord, that while one sows and another waters, it is the Lord himself that gives the increase. And therefore, Lord, we have full confidence that the increase and the adding to the church and the saving of souls is not our work, but thy work. And our Father, we thank thee for the privilege we have of being involved in some measure in bringing the gospel to boys and girls. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt save this rising generation by thy grace and for thy glory. Lord, thou knowest the awful temptations, the awful sin that is in society, and the awful means the devil has to draw souls away from spiritual things and down into hell itself. We ask our God that thou wilt save children in all our Sunday schools. Make every class the birthplace of precious souls. Make every teacher a soul winner. And we ask our God that in our denomination and right throughout this whole province, Lord, there'll be a sweeping revival that will impact upon the youth of our country for good and for God's glory. Father, we commit this work to Thee. We thank Thee for our Sunday schools and for our teachers and our superintendents. And we ask our God even tomorrow that Thou would be pleased to move in power. That tomorrow, Lord, there might be a finding of that bread and a bringing forth of a harvest for Jesus' glory. Lord, remember our service tonight here. We pray for Thy servant who will come to bring the word, that Thou will bless him in his own heart. And Lord, meet with us then again. We pray of Thee. Father, abide with us between now and then. And we ask that Thou will do our hearts good. Bless the food that's been provided for us. May we eat and drink, Lord, to Thy glory and serve Thee in the strength of that food. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.